Welcome back. April is traditionally known as Autism Awareness Month, though I thought we would check in with Jan Randall. Jan is Director of Family Support for Community Autism Resources, CAR, here in Massachusetts, to learn a little bit more about that organization and about this month of awareness in general. So, Jan, thank you so much for virtually joining us. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much.
For actually, the first thing that I learned when I did a little research about this topic was rather than referring to it as Autism Awareness Month, it's Autism Acceptance Month, right? That's a little bit different.
It is a little bit different. That's something that's been coming to the forefront over the last few years, although we also talk about not just the importance of acceptance, but also the importance of awareness. Because awareness is not just awareness of the fact that autism is out there, but awareness of all the things that people should know about individuals with autism and resources and supports and services and things that are available to individuals with autism. And then there's also that piece of action, things that you can do to take action during April and all year long.
So let's kind of start with a little overview of what Community Autism Resources is.
So Community Autism Resources is the Southeastern Massachusetts DDS Autism Support Center. And there are seven centers throughout Massachusetts who are kind of, you know, the other six are like our sister centers, although there are little bits of differences between what different places do, but we're all primarily getting grants from DDS to do the work that we do.
Okay, and DES is what, Jan?
The Department of Developmental Services, which is the state agency for developmental services in Massachusetts.
Okay, so DDS. And about how old is the organization?
Community Autism Resources has been around now for about 31 years.
Oh, okay. All right. And the center that covers the Quincy area is where you're located in Swansea,
yes.
Is that right?
Okay. Yes. So we go all of southeastern Mass up as far north as the South Shore of Massachusetts.
And if you could, you know, talk about what services you provide and how folks access those.
We don't have enough time today to talk about all the services that we provide.
Okay.
But there is a really wide range of services that we do offer to families. When I'm talking to families, primarily I'm talking about, you know, the fact that we do family events every month for our families. We do social programs. We do sensory programs for individuals. And this is for all ages, right from the time an individual is diagnosed right through their lifespan. We have services, we have information packets on a number of different topics. We provide referral lists to people of things that they might be looking for, say if they were looking for an occupational therapist, or they were looking for recreation programs, or they're looking for a counselor, we can provide those kinds of lists to them. We do visual systems clinics. And I think as my role for family support, I think one of the most important things that we do is that we take time to talk to families, to parents, to grandparents, or professionals who call us to answer their questions and get them the information that they need.
And then we have an assortment
of adult services as well.
Yeah. How do you connect with your clients, Jan? How does that relationship begin?
So we do things like resource fairs when we're invited to come out to different places for those. I actually connected with some new families this past week through a resource fair. And then we have families get referred to us. So when their child is diagnosed, they'll be told, contact Community Autism Resources. They are your autism support center. And they can help you out.
And you mentioned all ages, so from children right up through elderly?
Absolutely.
And the costs, Jan, how does the client pay for the services, or do they?
The vast majority of our services are at no charge at all to families.
Okay.
So there are a couple of services that we do offer to adults that would require them being in DDS. But other than that, we do have... occasionally we'll do a conference that there might be a cost for, but everything we do pretty much is free of charge for families.
Okay. And is it day program outpatient type services that you provide, or is there an actual center that folks can stay at?
We do have a center.
Okay.
Which is going to be moving soon. We're moving actually from Swansea to Taunton. We have a new location. But we are out, and we can be out and on the road to different places. So we're going to be at a resource fair in Carver coming up. We're going to be at a resource fair in Dartmouth coming up. When we do our family events, they're spread out throughout the region. So we may do an event in Weymouth, and then we may do an event down in New Bedford, or we may offer a program in Attleboro, and then we're offering a program in Plymouth.
And when you say we, who are we, Jan? Who are your caregivers? Yeah.
So the staff is comprised of, we have an adult services staff that work with adults. We have our co-executive directors, Mary Fox, who is our adult specialist, and Kate Dansereau, who is also the director of the Gottschall Access Program, which is a college experience program for adults who are on the spectrum. And so they're part of our adult program. We also have Tony Vittorino. He works with the College Access Program, and then he also does direct services to adults where adults can get matched up with a support person. In the office, we also have our Medicaid waiver staff who work specifically on the Autism Waiver Program, which is a program between DDS and MassHealth for specific low-income families. And then we have our family support team, which is myself and our new hire, whose name is Lindsay.
Okay. Now, as I understand autism, it's a spectrum, correct? And an individual falls along a certain place on that spectrum, depending on where their needs are.
Yes, that is correct.
And how do you assess that, and then adjust the services that they require?
People look at the spectrum and think that it's linear, but it really isn't a linear spectrum.
Okay.
And there's been a real move away from high functioning and low functioning. People have different challenges maybe in different areas and have different strengths in different areas. So just because one individual, may have challenges with language doesn't mean that they're not really intelligent, for example.
Right. So it leads me to my next question. What are some of the most common misconceptions about autism?
There are so many misconceptions about ASD. When I saw that you wanted to talk about that today, I actually reached out to some friends to ask them their thoughts. And I got some really wonderfully thoughtful responses. As a parent myself of an adult who's on the autism spectrum, and who I often talk about is having a lot of challenges, one of the things that I'm always talking to people about is the fact that he is much brighter and has a lot more intelligence than a lot of people give him credit for because of the struggles of his language. So because he's not a great communicator, people don't understand what he does understand. Other people talked about the fact that they find that people think that individuals with autism can't be affectionate or empathetic or don't want to have friends. They're not interested in those kinds of relationships. Another friend said, you know, we have to get past this whole thing that people with autism, you know, are either lousy at making eye contact or they need to get better at making eye contact. That shouldn't be this big issue. And then I actually heard from someone who's been driving a bus with a number of students on the spectrum. And he said that he's really discovered that he and most of his friends had this assumption that all people with autism are geniuses, and they're really smart or they have a special gift. And he said, I haven't found that to be true. He said he's met some students who are very, you know, very, very bright and very loquacious speakers. But he said he's seen a lot more kids who have a lot of struggles and challenges that he never realized beforehand, meeting all these individuals.
It sounds to me like a lot of it is communication, right? It's a communication issue, how to communicate with somebody on their level and vice versa, and how to understand what that person is trying to express.
Absolutely. Communication is one of the central areas of challenge, even for individuals who can be very well spoken. There is that challenge with the social communication piece and picking up some of those nonverbal social communication things that all of us naturally do all the time and that we've kind of picked up from the time we were children. You know, we kind of pick it up by osmosis that people on the spectrum don't necessarily pick up quite so easily. It's not that they can't learn it. You know, it just might take a little more work to learn those kinds of things.
Yeah. So have you found, I mean, in the past 31 years, you said, diagnosis of people on the spectrum has changed and the way that they're treated has changed?
The diagnostic manual has changed. I think it changed the last time about 10 years ago or so. And they tightened up, in some ways they tightened up the criteria. They did add information about the sensory challenges that individuals with autism have. But in some ways, people feel like it's gotten a little looser and that's why more people are being diagnosed. I've found that the families that I talk to whose children are diagnosed, you know, they do have those challenges. They do fit that criteria. And so I don't think individuals are being diagnosed that shouldn't be. Let's okay. put it that way.
Okay, yeah. And what about for treatments? I mean, are there medications that have changed or are there different therapies that have changed?
Well, medication certainly changes all the time.
Yeah.
And some people may need to look at medication. There really isn't any medication that they're looking at that kind of treat the core features, but there are things that can come along with autism. Frequently, anxiety is probably the biggest challenge that people with autism face. We talk about a lot of times that's because the world can be a very anxiety provoking place, especially when so much of it doesn't make sense to you and people are doing things that don't make sense to you or you're not being listened to because you have autism, and that can be stressful and anxiety provoking. There are a number of different therapies. One of the things that we find is when a child is diagnosed, pretty much across the board, they're told they need to get ABA therapy, which is applied behavioral analysis. And while that's all well and good and can be very helpful for some individuals, autism is not, treatments for autism should not be cookie cutter. We have to look at the individual. We have to look at their strengths and their areas of challenge. And we have to make sure that we're looking at therapies that is going to benefit that individual. So in my role, one of the things that I want to make sure parents know about are all the other types of therapies that are out there.
I would think, too, as director of, family support, then you work with the families to be able to bring the best out of their children, right, if they have been diagnosed.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's so important. And it's very overwhelming for parents when they get the first diagnosis because there's so much for them to learn. And so my suggestion to them, especially when I'm sending them information, is take a look at this information. There's going to be a lot in there, a little bit on a lot of different topics. And so when you read on a topic that kind of pulls at your gut and you go, yes, this is my kid, and you want more information about that, call me back and I'll get you more information. But it's a good way to start is reading a little bit about all the different things that are out there and then kind of following your gut to what makes the most sense for your, your child, your teen, your adult.
So, Jan, what would you say is kind of the overall goal of Community Autism Resources? When do you kind of know, when you've achieved what you were hoping to do with this family?
When they're not calling you back all the time, I find that people need a lot of support at the beginning. They kind of get the pieces in place for their son or their daughter. And then things can, hopefully settle down. The child is getting what they need in terms of therapy and support and education. And then there will be times where things change. There are transitions. Transitions that kids go through as they start to enter into puberty, or transitions in school where they're changing from school to middle school or transitions in families. So maybe some challenges crop up. And we're here again. This is why we talk about the fact that we are a place for you to start, but we're also a presence for your journey.
What, going forward, what do you think needs to improve or change when it comes to focusing on folks on the spectrum?
One of the things I think that really needs to improve is just making sure that as these individuals age out of school, that there are services in place for the adults who are on the spectrum. This has been a huge challenge that got worse during COVID. There is a real lack of support staff and programs for individuals with autism. And while Mass has some great, what are called self-directed programs for adults, that can be hugely beneficial, finding individuals to work with our individuals who are on the autism spectrum can be really challenging, just like it is with most places who are looking to hire people.
I was just going to say the whole entire healthcare field in general is experiencing that right now, so you're right in that loop as well, yeah. Anything else you'd like to leave with folks today, Jan?
Just that if they suspect that their child might, or their teen or adult might be on the spectrum, that they don't have to wait for that diagnosis to reach out to us. We can provide them with information. We can provide them with places to go to get evaluations. I spoke to someone recently who waited almost 15 months for their preschooler to get assessed. And there are places where it's possible to get in quicker. So don't wait. Reach out and we can get you that information.
Great. Well, I want to thank you very much for your time and information. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Hopefully help get the word out for you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.